on our determination that attendance by remote means is necessary because of in-person meeting is not practical or prudent due to declare public health disaster caused by COVID-19. This meeting is held by video conference. We will now have a roll call to establish a quorum, so please note that your yes or present response may be deemed a yes vote when a quorum roll call is called. I'm sorry, is used for later items called. We'll begin with a roll call. Vice Chair Osterman. Alderman Sawyer. Alderman Mitchell. Alderwoman Lee.
Present.
Alderman Lopez.
I am present.
Alderman Curtis.
Present.
Alderwoman Scott.
Present.
Alderman Irving.
Present.
Alderman Reboris.
Present.
Alderwoman Mitz. Alderman Spazzato. Alderwoman Nugent.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Alderman Napolitano.
Present, Chairman.
Alderman Knudsen. Alderman Tunney.
Present, Chairman.
Alderman Gardner.
Present.
Alderman Martin.
Present.
Alderwoman Silverstein.
Present, Chairman.
We have 13 members present. We do have a quorum.
Chairman, Alderman Mitchell present.
Alderman Mitchell's present. At this time, we will begin public comment, but because there are no public speakers, we will move into the Rule 45 report. Each of you should have received the Rule 45 report on November 10th regarding our October meeting.
Move to pass.
Okay. I do have a motion to move to pass. I believe that was Alderman Lopez that made that motion. May I get a motion? Well, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The Rule 45 report does pass. We only have one item before the committee this morning, and that is amendment to the municipal code, section 4-68-080 regarding rules for private ambulances, and chapter 8-4 by adding a new section, 8-4-076, regarding assaults against emergency workers. This matter is before the public safety, and I believe we have the chief sponsor of this ordinance, Alderman Matt O'Shea here, that has joined us today. And we do have a speaker, but before we go to our public speaker, before we go to our witness, which is Joe Sinorski, of Local 2, anyone wishing to make any comments or ask any questions regarding the ordinance, please use the raise your hand functions, and I will call you in order in which your hand was raised, followed by non-committee members in which their hand was raised as well. Alderman O'Shea, before I go to you as the chief sponsor of this, I'd like to see if our panelist, Joe Sinorski of Local 2, has any questions or comments that he'd like to make with regard to this ordinance. And the chair recognizes Joe Sinorski at this time.
Thank you, Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you well, Joe. Good to see you.
Good. I want to applaud this committee, and I want to thank you for taking time. We all know everyone's very busy right now. I appreciate you all taking time to call this ordinance today. I think it's incredibly important. Members of the Chicago Fire Department are seeing the same rise in violence we see throughout the city of Chicago. Sadly, we're the first to arrive in a lot of these violent incidences, and we're alone. There's only two paramedics in an ambulance, and we sadly see assaults on the rise. We see attacks against our members on the rise. If not on the scene in the back of an ambulance when there's only one person with that patient, we do know that there is a mental health crisis in the city of Chicago right now. And sadly, we're on the front lines of it. The men and women of the Chicago Fire Department are taking a literal beating at the hands of their patients. We think this ordinance is incredibly important. We think it's needed. We have seen 3 10-1s in the past 30 days, which is, for those that don't know when a 10-1 is called, it means send everybody. We applaud you taking it up. We can answer any specific questions. I know some information was provided to members of this committee through Alderman O'Shea. We're here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Joe. Are there any questions for, before we go into questions and comments, let me invite Alderman Matt O'Shea to speak as well. The chair recognizes Alderman Matt O'Shea. And also we do have Alderman Mitz who's joined us for purposes of roll call.
Alderman Sawyer as well, sir.
Oh, okay, thank you, Alderman Sawyer.
Alderman Knudsen as well.
Alderman Knudsen and Alderman Sawyer are both present. Alderman O'Shea.
Thank you, Chairman Ty Farrell. And thank you to the Committee on Public Safety for allowing me to be a part of today's meeting. So everybody has seen the substitute ordinance, and I just want to give you a little history on where this emanated. I was approached several weeks ago by a paramedic who informed me of the significant increase in attacks on emergency medical providers in our city, particularly medics responding to scenes and rendering aid. There were several examples presented to me. I asked if we could put together a meeting with Local 2 where we could get more information. Parallel to that, I did some of my own research and I found a study that the Center for Disease Control released where attacks on first responders, on medical workers in particular, is significantly up in this country. And then when you also look at the fact that with such a significant decrease in police officers on the street, more and more frequent, particularly in the overnight hours, Chicago Fire Department paramedics were on the scene without any backup. When I say on the scene, I'm talking about gang conflict. I'm talking about shooting incidents. I'm talking about people in mental health crisis. An example after example after example. And as Mr. Shinorsky just pointed out, we've had 3 significant episodes just in the past month. Something has to be done to protect our medics. And one of my concerns is, if we don't do more to support them and protect them who are out there on the front lines, again, in the middle of the night responding to the ugly violence that every one of us on this panel has seen increase over the past few years. We know that oftentimes they're there before the police. Oftentimes they're there without the police. If we don't do something, my concern is we're going to see situations where the fire department is afraid to go into an area, go into a scene to render aid. And as all of you know, particularly my colleagues who have served on the fire department, they have to get to that scene, render aid, many times provide life-saving care, stabilize, and transport. Another thing I wanted to touch on, several of my colleagues have approached me about other individuals being attached to this ordinance, water department workers, meter maids. I support that, and I'd like to work with the administration on addressing that. But I think we need to be very clear. Our first responders are under attack. And if we don't do something to address and support them, we're going to have a real problem on our hands, particularly as the weather starts to get warm. I don't think we should mix the two. I think we should get this addressed today. I'd like to see full support from the Committee on Public Safety, get this on the agenda on Wednesday, and send a clear message. We stand with our first responders. We support our first responders. Thank you, Chairman. If anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Alderman Shea. Let me begin our questions with Alderman Jim Gardner.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Alderman O'Shea, for bringing this forward. As a fireman for 14 years, I've been on the scene of multiple dangerous situations where you do witness and you see some of the various threats to our first responders. Joe Sinorsky, earlier you had mentioned you briefly kind of went over what a 10-1 is. Do you want to kind of explain more? I know you said everybody comes. You want to explain for people who may not be as familiar with that lingo what that means?
Yeah, so predominantly it's used more so for police. What it would mean is you call a 10-1 when you think your life's in danger. You have a legitimate fear that you may lose your life. And, you know, it's the proverbial send the cavalry. Everyone responds. I know that there is at least one member on here who spent some time with the police. When that 10-1 is called in a police incident, it goes on a citywide band and it goes out to every police officer in the city of Chicago. And as you would imagine, every police officer in the city of Chicago responds. And if, for us, for fire, when we call a 10-1, the alarm office gives that notification to the police. And at the moment, what the police are doing is dispatching a car. They're not putting that 10-1 out over the district area or the citywide area, letting the police know, hey, we've got a firefighter or a paramedic who's about to lose their life. They believe that they're in fear for their life. And this isn't just fists. It isn't padlocks. It's guns. We've had ambulances shot at. We've had fire apparatus shot at. And, you know, that 10-1 is we're in trouble. We have a legitimate fear that we are about to lose our life. Please send us help. Send everyone. And that's what happens typically in a 10-1.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Joe. And just for a reminder as well, for those who may not be familiar, do paramedics, are they armed? Do they have any kind of weapons themselves to protect themselves?
No, Jim. Sadly, and rightfully so, they shouldn't be armed. They, you know, we don't need paramedics carrying firearms. And we haven't had this problem. We haven't seen this problem historically. But now it is a very, very dangerous situation when we're dispatching additional fire companies to the scene of a 10-1 before we've dispatched one police officer. Those firefighters and paramedics don't have bulletproof vests and they don't have weapons. Right. They're walking in there with a bunker coat and a helmet trying to help. And believe me, when our members are dispatched to respond to one of these, they're coming. They're not gonna leave their brothers and sisters behind. But we need additional resources, and that's why we're looking to City Council for help.
Right, Joe, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that again. Obviously, there's some very dangerous situations that are going on in Chicago as well as other cities. And a lot of first responders are heading to the scene. And obviously our police officers are armed as they should be as they're coming into some of these dangerous situations. But I think sometimes it's lost on the fact that firemen and paramedics are showing up to the scene without any weapons. And as you said, rightfully so, because they don't have the same type of training. But it's also very important if they are heading into these dangerous situations that they have basic protection, which often due to the low staffing numbers on our police department, it's very difficult for them to have that. So again, I appreciate Alderman O'Shea bringing this forward, and I appreciate your partnership with Joe Sinorsky. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Lopez, followed by Alderman Napolitano.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, members of the committee. Good morning, Joe, and to all of the local two members there with you. I just want to say that I'm thankful to our colleague, Alderman O'Shea, bringing this forward, glad to sponsor. And I want to say that this is a sad commentary in this city when people feel it is their right to attack those trying to save their friends, neighbors, or family members' lives. It is thoroughly disgusting that we don't call this out more often. And I don't think, while this is a start, I don't think these fines go far enough. We have seen where more and more departments, as Alderman O'Shea has mentioned, are asking for help. We have seen in the past where even departments as innocuous as animal care and control have had to resort to wearing bulletproof vests just to keep themselves safe. So I do think we need to send a message, but we also need to start hearing it from the fifth floor on down that this is not acceptable. This is another boundary that we're allowing gang members to cross that used to be off limits. We know gangs used to not shoot in front of schools. They used to leave churches alone. They used to leave our paramedics and firemen alone, and that's not the case anymore. So let's continue to stand up and push back. Let's work on what we can do for our other employees. But I also think it's incumbent upon the department, who, Chairman, I don't know if they're on this call or not. The department itself really should be standing up and asking us for help, because I'd be curious to know just how many of our ambulances have bullet holes in them, how many of our fire trucks have been under siege, and why none of that gets reported to us so that we could have addressed this and nipped it sooner when this trend started. I know this trend did not just start a few months ago or a few incidents ago. This has been going on for some time, and our department can't hide or try to cover up what's going on when our personnel's lives are at stake. So if there's anybody from the department here, Chairman, I'd love to know what their answer is to that.
Alderman Lopez, I don't believe we have anyone on from the department.
Docked. Thank you, Chairman.
Alderman Napolitano, followed by Alderman Curtis.
Thank you, Chairman Taliaferro. Thank you to Chairman O'Shea for bringing this up. Thank you for Joe and Local 2, the CFD Firefighters Union, to be here as well. I'm just going to try to emphasize on what Joe had covered and what Jimmy has covered as well, and why this is so important. One of the main things that's been brought up is what Joe had mentioned, and Jimmy, that firefighters are, the paramedics are the first to show up. The emphasis should be sometimes they're the only ones to show up, because based on how this call comes in as a priority over the radio, you might not be getting backup from the police. And in some cases, in a lot of cases, we're lucky enough to get a fire engine or fire truck to go along with you. But sometimes manpower-wise, if they're allocated to a different resource, fire or different incidents, you're going by yourself as an ambulance. And the important thing is me and Jimmy have, and Joe have ridden these ambulances for years. And when you show up, you're with you and your partner, and you're hoping that everyone there knows you're there to help, but you're in volatile situations. And some of those volatile situations aren't just gang problems or shooting issues. There could be domestic related issues as well. So when you go to help somebody, you might be even contributing to the volatile situation that you're in, and you become a target. Like Joe had mentioned, I've been unfortunately a part of many, many 10-1s on both sides, more on the police side than the fire side. But I've been a part of them, and you're at the will of however the street wants to treat you for that day. And it could be catastrophic. But another thing I need to point out that is extremely important that Joe had pointed out, and I can clarify it a little bit better, and Joe touched on it, is that when the police department calls a 10-1, like Joe said, that goes car to car in that district, on that zone. So when I was in the police department, I was in the 15th district, and we shared a zone with the 25th district. So when I called a 10-1, I got all of 15 and I got all of 25, and they came like the cavalry, and it was instant. But like Joe had made mention, when the firefighters and the paramedics get on the radio, it doesn't go to that zone. It goes to citywide band. And when that citywide band puts it out, like Joe said, a dispatcher picks it up and puts it to that district. And that might go to a car. So you're not getting the cavalry right away. You'll eventually will get the cavalry, but it goes out as a message or an incident, and everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. But when it happens in a district, they know where you're at. They know what you're going through because you're already on that radio communicating. So something like this is important, because these firefighters, these paramedics are on their own out there. And I got to tell you, I've got my butt kicked on both sides. And it is a very, very, very scary situation when you think you're not going back to your home, you're not going to see your family again, and you're not going to see your firefighter brothers and sisters again, all while you're just trying to save a life. So I think this is way past due, something that has to be put into action. And I I applaud everyone that's a part of this. I hope everyone signs on to it. This is a no-brainer. We should just end this right now. Everyone vote yes. I don't want to steal anyone, you know, from talking, but this is a no-brainer. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Alderman DiPaolitano. Before we go to Alderman Curtis, I just had a brief question for Alderman O'Shea and perhaps Joe Sinorsky. I want to clarify, make sure this is clarified. We do have, as part of the Illinois compound statute, aggravated battery and aggravated assault, where a crime is committed against a fireman and emergency medical personnel in the performance of their duties, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
The state does have legislation on the books. The city does not, and this measure is to address that.
Okay. So I just want to make it clear for the committee that if there is a crime committed, whether that be an assault or battery against a fireman or EMT, that charge is elevated into an aggravated status by way of their profession itself in the performance of their duties. And I appreciate you making the city, adding that to as a tool to the city as well. But I just wanted to make clear to the panel here, and well, not the panel, but the committee, that the state does have a state charge to whereby they can be arrested for any actions. Alderman Curtis, followed by Alderman Mitz.
Thanks. Can you hear me, Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you. I also want to thank Alderman O'Shea for bringing this forward. I've talked with Joe a few times about situations related to this. I've been approached also by a female paramedic where she arrived on the scene where a gang shooting had occurred, and she was so afraid to do a job. The gang members was called her out of her name, told her, you better save him. And she was so afraid that she couldn't do a job. So this is a very important ordinance, and I will be supporting this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman Curtis. Alderwoman Mitz, followed by Alderman Felix Cardone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to be added as a co-sponsor to this ordinance as well. It really looks like it is a no-brainer. Anytime you can help to strengthen legislation, even though we have it in the state, but it makes it clear as well when we have one in the city. I wanted to see if, and I guess where it's strengthened this ordinance, someone can tell me, is that when we have Department of Health and DCAP investigating the vehicles to make sure too that they are safe, is that not something that's in the state that we're adding, as well as enforcing fines here in the city?
Alderman O'Shea, can you answer that one?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Alderman?
The question was, is this having DCAP to look at the safety of the vehicles, the ambulance, and Department of Health, is that strengthen the ordinance here in the city? Is it not included in the state?
The only thing we have included in the ordinance is to protect emergency medical personnel. I do not have anything in there on the actual ambulance itself. That is okay. Something we could look at moving forward. I just felt okay. It was imperative to get something on the books to strengthen this and to do more to protect our first responders.
Well, you absolutely have done an excellent job in doing so, because anything we can do to help our first responders and those who are trying to help save lives, protect them in doing so, can't ask for any more. So I definitely would like to support the ordinance and As you say, we can look at the other items later on.
Yeah, and Alderwoman, if I could just add to Alderman O'Shea's response, you know, oftentimes where someone does cause damage to a city vehicle, they can be charged with criminal damage to property as well, which would be a charge that's inclusive of whatever else, you know, for example, the aggravated battery or the aggravated assault that they would be charged with now in a state court as well as by ordinance. So criminal damage to property can be added to the charges as well. I believe we have Alderman Lopez and then Alderman Nugent. I apologize, Felix, I'm calling committee members first. Alderman Lopez, again.
Actually, Chairman, I just had a quick point of information. Was there a substitute? Is that what I heard?
I don't have a substitute. I have the original ordinance filed by Alderman O'Shea at the January 18th City Council meeting.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I misheard that. I thought I heard there was a substitute. That's all. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Alderwoman Nugent, then followed by Alderman Cardona.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to thank Alderman O'Shea and Joe Sinorski for being here today and speaking on this. I think this is incredibly important. I was speaking to a paramedic in our ward in 39 last Thursday evening, and she said that the conditions have just become quite difficult out in the field, and had mentioned, you know, anything we could do to help protect them a little bit in the field would be very welcome. So I think this is very timely, and I think we owe, you know, a debt of gratitude to the folks that are providing life-saving care, and we have to protect them whilst they administer that care. So I'm happy to be supporting this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Alderwoman Nugent. Alderman Burnett.
Just wanted to be recognized.
Okay, thank you, Alderman Burnett. Alderman Cardona, is your hand up from the last time?
Yes, it is, sir, Chairman. Thank you. I also want to be accounted for this meeting, but also just want to extend my support to this ordinance, which I'm not part of the committee, but as outside of the committee, because I think this is very important for our public safety, especially for our fire department. I've talked this week, and I was by one of my fire stations. I was talking to a paramedic, and I just threw them questions like, how are conditions when you go to a car? And they expressed how it was now, things are different now, how it was back when I was growing up. The respect for our first responders have gone out the window. So we need to, the way they were explaining to me that they need some kind of help, some kind of protection. And I'm glad that Chairman O'Shea basically put this into effect. And I am glad that we are hearing this, and especially Joe Sinorski bringing it to our attention as well, so we could put some legislation in there to bring protection to our paramedics and our first responders. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Alderman Cardona. Alderwoman Silverstein.
Thank you, Chairman. And I also would just like to add my support to this ordinance. Thank you to Alderman O'Shea and to Joe Sinorski. And just take an opportunity to say thank you to all of the first responders who are always putting their lives on the line for us. I 100% you have my support. Thank you.
And Alderwoman Mitz and Alderwoman Silverstein, I'll make sure that I send my staff send you a co-sponsorship form. So that you could be added on as co-sponsors of this ordinance. We'll get that to you today. And then Alderman O'Shea, we will make sure we get that to you for signature as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderwoman Lee.
Thank you, Chairman. And I want to add to the chorus of thanks to Alderman O'Shea and Joe Sinorski for bringing this ordinance forward. I just a really quick question. How do these fines compare to similar type of ordinances in other cities? I'm just wondering if they're high enough. Does anybody know?
I don't know. I don't know specifically, you know, municipalities throughout the state. I think a lot of them kind of fall back on state statute. And I want to kind of echo what Alderman O'Shea said earlier. I think it's wonderful that we're codifying this city ordinance finally. So this will be in the code forever. I don't know specifically the dollar amounts throughout the state, so I can't speak to other municipalities.
thanks for that. We'll just keep an eye on how this goes. I mean, I want to echo what everybody else said too, in terms of, you know, we appreciate everything that first responders do, everybody that puts their lives on their lines every day to protect us and to provide service. I think this is a small thing that we can do, and know that you've got our support to continue for us to do our jobs and helping to protect you all as well. So I'm proud to co-sponsor this. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderwoman Lee. Looks like there are no further hands being raised at this time. Can I get a motion?
Wait, Chairman?
Yes.
Chairman, I sent you a sub on Friday, a substitute ordinance where we were cleaning up the language, replacing fireman with firefighter.
Okay, I didn't get him, Alderman. Unfortunately, I went out of town to my nephew's funeral.
I just resent it to you 10 minutes ago.
Okay, and you just changed one word?
Yes, the only change, folks, was replacing fireman with firefighter.
Chairman, Sawyer moves to accept a substitute.
Thank you, Alderman Sawyer. Generally, as a rule in the committee, I do require substitutes to be filed and sent out to all members within 48 hours. However, under the circumstances here, he's just changing one word, which makes it a very minimal change at all. But before I do accept, well, we do have a motion before the floor by Alderman Sawyer to accept this substitute into committee.
So moved.
I know, we're going to get to that part, but I saw a hand raised. I saw a hand raised by Alderman Lopez. Alderman Lopez.
Thank you, Chairman. If I may offer a solution, rather than doing a full substitute, if I just...
it could be shortener?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's because it is just one word, just substituting that one word, Alderman O'Shea. We can do a Scrivener's error on such a minor discrepancy here, which would not be necessary for a substitute. But because it's already filed as a substitute, I believe that we have to have the motion come before us as a substitute.
If we haven't accepted the substitute, Chairman, we don't need to recognize it.
Is there just one word, Matt?
If it makes it easier, I withdraw my motion.
Okay. Is it just that one word?
Yes, the only change was that minor.
Okay. I will accept that into committee as a Scrivener's error, because it is just a replacement of one word, substituting the word fireman. Are there any questions? Any other questions? Alderman Burnett, your hand is raised. Okay, there being no further hand raised, can I get a motion to pass for the passage of this item by the affirmative vote of all members present at roll call used to establish a quorum?
So moved, Alderman Mitz.
So moved by Alderman Mitz. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The matter passes and will be reported out at the next meeting of the city council, which I believe is February 1st. Alderman O'Shea, thank you so much. And Joe Sinorsky, thank you so much for presenting this matter. As I agree with all of my colleagues that we can't have a more important matter before this committee, and making sure that our first responders are protected at all costs. So thank you guys so much. And there being no further business before the committee, Alderman Lopez moved for the adjournment of this meeting by the affirmative vote of all members present at the roll call used to establish a quorum. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you all. Guys. Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your day.